This is Ethan Winterovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon. Farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman along with Chloe Wand, and we start with Harvest Hotline. It's brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill. Conditions looking promising around the Wimbledon, North Dakota area. Mike Clemens farms in that area where strong rainfall earlier this summer has helped carry the crop through a much drier August.
Well, in our area, we've had very good rains throughout the summer, and so it's looking really good in our area. But you get any odd thing out of that 20-mile radius of our place, and things get pretty tough pretty fast. So we're kind of hopeful in our area we're going to have a pretty decent crop this year. But the thing is, we haven't had a lot of rain during the month of August here. Our last big rains were July 9th, but we had a lot of rain up to that point. So we were pretty saturated. So we've been living off of that pretty much the whole time.
With harvest still a ways off, the focus now shifts to getting enough favorable weather to finish the crop.
Our corn is just getting fully dented now, so we're still going to need probably 2 to 3 weeks of good weather yet. And so I'm watching the forecast on the evening news to see what year it froze, you know, for that date, and thinking about, could we be looking at a frost to kind of ding up what we got going? I hope not. I hope we're going to have good weather to finish this crop off.
Dry conditions are putting added pressure on crops in west central Minnesota. Lance Peterson farms near Underwood, Minnesota, where moisture has been hard to come by in the recent weeks.
We're definitely seeing dry conditions. We've missed any substantial rain here in the last 5 weeks. We certainly had spotty rain that's been within a couple miles of the farm, so there are a few fields that pick it up, but overall under a lot of moisture stress. Definitely seeing that both on the corn and the beans. The beans seem to be holding up better. The pod set isn't bad, but we've got a long ways to go to get the bean filled out.
The lack of widespread rainfall is also becoming more noticeable in the corn crop as the season moves closer to the finish line.
On the corn side, we're seeing a lot of the cobs drooping and a lot of discoloration halfway up the plant. The plants are trying to hang on, but we're right on the edge that even if we get rain in the next few days, some of it's not going to matter. The kernel counts are not awful, but what are we going to end up with test weight and dry matter in those cobs? And also literally the standability of the plants. We're seeing difficulty in that area already. So it's a moisture challenging year. The spottiness of the rainfall is something we're not used to seeing, I guess used to the more general events, but it's been 5 weeks since we've had something that resembled a general rainfall.
Crop conditions vary widely across the Red River Valley as a hot and dry summer commenced. And Pioneer agronomist Kevin Center says areas north of U.S. Highway 2 have caught more rain, while fields between Grand Forks and Fargo have struggled with both heat and a lack of moisture.
If it were just one or the other, we could maybe tolerate it. But the heat and the lack of rain between Grand Forks and Fargo is just too much, and the corn just wasn't able to handle it. And I don't think the beans are going to be quite as good as maybe some people think they are either in that area, but we'll see when the combines hit, and it's probably going to happen here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. We'll see some bean combines going.
The hot, dry weather also pushing some corn towards maturity faster than normal.
Corn, you'll see, you can pick out the dry, the sandy veins, the ridges, and things like that. The corn's already turned white in spots, so there'll likely be some lower test weight corn. We were doing some yield predictions and yield checks yesterday, kind of over towards the Faustin and Monoman area, and it kind of surprised me how good the corn looked there at times. And we were getting anywhere from, you know, if it was a late 70-day hybrid, we would get, you know, 140 to 150, which isn't surprising. But then when you get into the later day stuff, the 90, 91, 92-day stuff, our estimates were coming in anywhere from 175 to close to 190. So
sugar beet pre-pile harvest is getting underway near Kindred, North Dakota. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association President Darren Hoyme says dry conditions have reduced yield potential.
Well, you know, our tonnage is down compared to probably past years at this time. I mean, we've still got a month to go before the before the main campaign, but you know, the trade-off of less tons is our sugar is really high, so which is good. You know, I'd rather haul sugar, and so right now we expect above average sugar, a little below average tons for this time. Still hoping that we catch a couple rains before, long before harvest, which would help with some harvesting conditions, and would also help get a few more tons out there.
The dry weather has created some harvest challenges, but it has also helped limit Cercospora leaf spot.
You know, anytime you do have drier conditions, Cercospora isn't usually as a threat. We were, after last year, we were on a pretty hard spray program as far as applying fungicides, making sure we were on time and watching the sure the spore values weren't too high, but we're happy with the control of both the fungicides and of course, like Ricky said, the dry weather does help.
Minnesota and North Dakota farmers expected to harvest nearly 19 million tons of sugar beets this year. USDA forecasting 12.5 million tons in Minnesota, 6.3 million tons in North Dakota. Combined growers expected to harvest about 610,000 acres. Minnesota production is holding near last year's level, despite fewer harvested acres, while North Dakota production is forecast about 9% below 2025.
Minnesota and the Dakotas account for nearly 20 million acres of corn this year. USDA estimates Minnesota farmers planted 8.8 million acres, followed by 6.4 million in South Dakota and 4.7 million in North Dakota. Combined, that's 19.9 million planted acres. About 18.5 million acres across the three states are expected to be harvested for grain. Nationwide, U.S. corn acreage is down 3% from last year. That was your Harvest Hotline, and it was sponsored by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. A major new investment is being made in the U.S. fertilizer business. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has this breaking news.
At this hour, CHS and OCP North America are announcing a joint venture to build a phosphate fertilizer plant in Louisiana. CHS CEO Jay Deberton says this is an exciting moment for U.S. agriculture.
It's going to be the first plant of its kind that has been constructed in the United States since 1984. It's a good-sized plant. It's going to make a real impact in the phosphate production. The construction would start later this year. We've got a site picked out, and we're really thrilled about the ability to partner with CF Industries, that they are also on an adjacent site, and that's going to help the facility. We're located on the Mississippi River to load barges, and we're just really thrilled about the opportunities that the site is going to give us. You know, a few more steps to work through in terms of permits and steps that we need to take, but we're really pleased with progress to date.
This facility will have the capacity of up to 1.3 million metric tons. Construction is expected to begin before the end of the year and be operational in 2 years. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins and Deputy Secretary Stephen Baden are participating in today's announcement in New Orleans.
Just goes to show that the Secretary has been a big proponent of looking for ways to bring manufacturing here to the state around fertilizer production for the benefit of farmers and the benefit of U.S. agriculture. And we're one of the largest examples of the ability to do that. And so it really fulfills what the administration was working towards, and CHS is happy to be part of that.
Deberton emphasized the fertilizer produced at this plant will be on barges moving up the Mississippi River, put on trucks, and will end up on farms throughout the Northern Plains and Upper Midwest. This is Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Four major ag groups have sent a joint letter to President Trump asking him to reverse the 90-day beef import plan. The American Farm Bureau Federation, Livestock Marketing Association, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and U.S. Cattlemen's Association called on the administration to work with them to find solutions to keep food affordable for consumers while protecting producers and the country's ability to produce its own food.
President Trump says his administration should consider changing federal regulations on beef processing as cattle producers push back against his plan to increase beef imports. During an interview with Glenn Beck today, Trump did not say which regulations could change. USDA already working to lower costs for small and regional processors. That includes cutting some inspection fees, expanding remote beef grading, and providing $500 million in assistance to qualifying small and mid-sized plants. Another option could be expanding interstate sales for state-inspected plants. USDA says four companies currently control about 85% of fed cattle processing. More regional processors could give ranchers additional buyers for their cattle. However, processing changes would not quickly lower beef prices. The U.S. cattle herd remains at a 75-year low, making the cattle supply the bigger short-term problem.
Brazilian beef shipments arriving in Houston are drawing attention following President Trump's plan to temporarily waive higher tariffs on some imported ground beef. According to Washington analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, says public shipping records show Brazilian frozen boneless beef arrived in Houston just before and on the day of Trump's August 21st announcement. Some of that beef was connected to JBS. However, there is no evidence linking those shipments directly to the new tariff plan. Records show Brazilian beef was already moving towards Houston before the announcement. The administration has not yet announced which countries or companies will supply the 300,000 metric tons eligible for temporary tariff treatment.
South Dakota's livestock numbers moving in different directions. USDA says the state started 2026 with 3.55 million cattle and calves, 50,000 more than a year earlier. However, the state's beef cow herd slipped slightly to 1.45 million head. South Dakota's hog inventory also declined, falling about 2% to 2.19 million head. Nationally, U.S. beef cow numbers are down 1%, with the overall cattle inventory remaining near historic lows.
Inside agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. This year's drought is creating tough decisions for livestock producers, but it can also expose areas of an operation that need improvement. NDSU Extension Forage Crop Production Specialist James Rogers says producers can use this year to identify weak points in their cow herd and forage plan.
You know, what are those cows that maybe we have some udder problems, some eye problems, some feet problems? Maybe she hasn't dropped a calf every year. Maybe she's a little bit out of our calving window. You know, can we take those opportunities to tighten up that calving window a little bit just by doing some initial culling, culling our open females, and just looking at our production records and using those production records to tighten our herd up and make it more resilient and productive over time.
Roger says drought management also goes beyond decisions about individual cows. Matching herd size with available forage can help an operation handle dry years without putting too much pressure on pastures.
One of the things that we always talk about a lot that's really the key to long-term sustainability is making sure that our stocking rate matches up with our forage, pasture, and range production that we have on our operation. And that, over time, kind of builds in some drought insurance for you on the forage side of things. So it's always a balance. You need to know what the forage demand is for the cow herd, and you need to be able to balance that with the forage production.
Markets are jumping today. Looking at Minneapolis wheat, September right now, 31 and a quarter up at 725 and a quarter. December, Chicago's up 45, 748 and a quarter. Kansas City, September's up 40 and a quarter, 794, three quarters. Sep corn up 15, three quarters, 516 and a quarter. The Dease corn up 14 and a half, 538. September soybeans were up 29, 1257. November's up 30 and three quarters, 1268 and a quarter. October live cattle is down 7.5 at 210.87. September feeders down 52.5, 318.75. And the October lean hogs right now up 47.5 cents, 80.92. This is the Red River Farm Network.